Mangan Radio.
Everybody, welcome to the show. Welcome to the Drive Time Show. It is Wednesday. Yes, it is Wednesday. It's the middle of the week. Thanks for tuning in. Thanks for deciding to spend some time with us, to invest a little time with us. And I'm coming to you live today from the Vaughn office. We're in Madrid, Calle Orense, Orense Street. And by the way, if you ever want to see the show, you can come in. We have a big glass room here you can watch. Not that there's much to see, but we have, you know, hosts throughout the day, all day long, different shows going on. And here we are, Calle Orense, number 69, up on the first floor. We have a brand new bookstore at the ground level as well, a new bookstore with all our books, which is, like I said, ground level, on the street, street level. And it's a nice spot. Anyway, today's show is a good one. They're all good ones, but we're going to talk about diamonds today. Diamonds, well, a little bit. We're going to talk about the Pink Legacy Diamond, which sold yesterday for a world record price, over $50 million. $50 bucks for a diamond. Holy cow. What's so special about it? Well, I'll tell you that later on in the show. Trending topic, people are talking about the California wildfires. California wildfires. California is burning. How bad is it? I'll tell you about that a little bit later. We're also going to look at some vocabulary. We're going to talk about cooking. Cooking verbs. Verbs for the kitchen, right? Good to know. Good to know this stuff. And also, let's see, pronunciation, technology. Oh, the Hyperloop. That tunnel where they use air pressure to move little pods, little capsules with people through them. It basically could replace trains, maybe in the future. Hyperloop systems, they're going to implement one in India. It looks like they may implement one in India. We'll talk about that. Also, Moby Dick was published. The book Moby Dick was published on this day in 1851. So we'll talk a little bit about Moby Dick, the history and impact of that classic novel. Of course, Herman Melville, the author. We'll talk about that. Plenty to come. Let's get it started. Let's get this ship off the ground, this rocket ship off the ground, everybody. My name is Kyle Miller, and welcome to Drive Time. Vamos al lío.
Welcome to Drive Time with Kyle Miller.
Howdy. Welcome, everybody. Welcome to the show. The Drive Time Show here. It's Wednesday afternoon. Thanks for tuning in. We have a nice one for you today. We do have a lot to cover. Oh, we've got a lot of ground to cover, right? Mucho camino por recorrer, right? You say that, Tino, right? Tenemos mucho camino por recorrer. Recorrer, no? Recorrer. Double rolled R's. Recorrer. Yeah. a lot of ground to cover. So lots to talk about on the show. But we're going to begin, vamos a empezar, we're going to begin the way we always do, with a little challenge for you, un reto. A challenge. I'm talking about today's Twitter translation.
Twitter translation.
The Twitter translation. If you want to participate, you can write in. Aquí estamos. Here we are. I'm on Twitter today, como siempre, as always. And if you want to participate, you can write in. Tino, how can people find me on Twitter?
Tuiteanos, arroba IM Quilemillar. O sea, I'm Kyle Miller.
I'm Kyle Miller is the name on Twitter. ¿Cómo se dice en inglés? No sé si estoy por la labor.
Now come on now.
Es que no sé. Es que no sé, Tino. No sé si estoy por la labor.
Really?
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know. No sé si estoy por la labor. No sé. Tell me. Tell me how to say that in English. ¿Cómo se dice eso en inglés? Write in. Send me a message on Twitter. And we'll talk about that later on. Un poco más tarde, a little bit later in the show. Okay, now, while you think about it, let's move on into Tino's favorite part of the show with his favorite music, the warm-up gym.
Wake up and breathe.
The warm-up gym.
Okay, change the way you feel. Ba, 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 ba. All right, I'm going to give you some sentences in Spanish, and you can tell me the sentence in English, all right? Yo en español, tú en inglés. Ready? ¿Listo? Ready? Okay, very good. Very good. The kids are ready. The folks are ready. Número uno. ¿Es nuestro esto? Is this ours? Oye, ¿es nuestro esto? Is this ours? Yeah. Is this ours? Number two. Es mío porque el mío es rojo. Es mío porque el mío es rojo. It's mine because mine is red. Good one, right? Pero el mío es rojo también. But mine is red too. This is some great sentences here, right? Some very esencial, cosas esenciales aquí, essential elements here. It's mine because mine is red. But mine is red too. Number four. Esas naranjas son de ella. Esas naranjas son de ella. Those oranges are hers. Es que son de ella. No son tuyos. Tino, don't touch them. Eh? Don't touch them. Es que son de ella. They're hers. Hers with the S, right? Her. They're hers. Those oranges are hers.
Ya te digo.
Number five. Esta es una clase muy aburrida. ¿En serio? This is a very boring class. Mm. Oh, my gosh. Ay, muy fuerte. This is a very boring class. Okay. No hay muchos alumnos en esta clase. There aren't many students in this class. There aren't many students in this class. We're gonna raise the bar here. Vamos a subir el nivel un poquito. Okay, are you ready? Okay. Ella vale su peso en oro. She's worth her weight in gold. To be worth, she is worth. Vale, she is worth. She's worth her weight in gold. She's worth her weight in gold.
Muchas gracias.
Yeah. She's worth her weight in gold. Okay. Vamos a elaborar nuestro futuro en base a la fuerza de nuestros vendedores. Vamos a labrar nuestro futuro, ¿no? Eso es. Vamos a labrar nuestro futuro en base a la fuerza de nuestros vendedores. Labrar nuestro futuro. We're going to build our future. We're going to build our future on the strength of our salespeople. Yeah. On the strength of our salespeople. Nuestros vendedores. We're going to build our future on the strength of our salespeople. Number nine. Number nine. Estamos ante un gran reto. Claro, estamos ante un gran reto. We're facing a great challenge. Un gran reto.
Fíjate.
Un gran reto, Tino. We're facing a great challenge. Fíjate. Okay, this is good one. Number eight. Este celo es muy pegajoso. This tape is very sticky. Very sticky. Yeah. This tape is very sticky. Esta es mi última advertencia. No te acerques a mi novia. En serio, Tino, ¿eh? Esta es mi última advertencia. No te acerques a mi novia.
Y eso es lo que no me gusta.
This is my last warning. Advertencia. Warning. Warning. This is my last warning. Don't go near my girlfriend. Don't go near my girlfriend. This is my last warning. Don't go. Now, warning, we have the verb to warn. To warn. You can give a warning and you can advise. Advertir can be to advise, or it can also be to warn. So to warn is when there's potential danger. When there could be danger, there could be, you know, problems. You're warning someone of danger. But advising could be negative or it could be positive. You could advise someone that they just won. I'm calling to advise you that you've won the lottery. Yay! But I'm warning you to wear your seatbelt because...
You are a donkey, Mr. Danger.
That's right. Dangerous. Mr. Danger. Number 12. My gosh, this is number 12. This is our final question, everybody. I promise. Estas directrices fueron elaboradas por un equipo de expertos. Elaboradas. Excuse me. Estas directrices fueron elaboradas por un equipo de expertos. ¿Directrices? Do you know how to say that in English, Tino? Directrices. Oh, ¿cómo es? ¿Cómo es? Directrices en inglés. Guidelines. Guide. Now, dirección. Well, dirección. Dirección can be management of a company. Directorio. Like a directory, or a guide, like guía, una guía, guide. So a guideline, directrices, guidelines. You follow these lines of guidance, I guess. Guidelines, everybody. So these guidelines were elaboradas por un equipo de expertos. This gives us a very interesting phrasal verb, which is to draw up. These guidelines were drawn up by a team of experts. Estas directrices fueron elaboradas por un equipo de expertos. These guidelines were drawn up by a team of experts. They were drawn up. So to draw up is elaborar, confeccionar, elaborar. When we're talking about official documents, legal documents, we need a lawyer to draw up the contract. We hired an architect to draw up the plans for the building, to draw up the design. We hired a financial analyst to draw up the budget, or an accountant to draw up the budget. So to draw up the guidelines here, these guidelines were drawn up. Every day I draw, yesterday I drew, lately I've drawn. These guidelines were drawn up by a team of experts. A team of experts. All right. There you go. We did 12, right? Bonus. I was generous today. We gave you a lot. Let's push forward. Let's see what people are talking about in the online world. I'm talking about today's trending topic.
Trending topics.
Trending topics. The world's most expensive diamond has just been sold, everybody. If you're a diamond lover, they say diamonds are a girl's best friend. Well, the Pink Legacy diamond just set a world record, selling for $50 million, 50.3 Swiss million Swiss francs, about $50 million at an auction, which was a record price per carat. Right? So it's like gold and diamonds, they're divided, they're denominated in carats. C-A-R-A-T. Not the vegetable. No, carat. The Pink Legacy weighed in at just under 19 carats and was bought by U.S. brand Harry Winston at an auction in Geneva, Switzerland. Now, this price of around $2.6 million per carat marked a world record for a pink diamond, according to the European head of auction house Christie's. Christie's, the famous auction house. It had been valued at between $30 and $50 million before sale and was bought only after only 5 minutes of bidding. So the bidding, give me five, do I see 10, do we see 10, 11? That's called bidding, right? The subasta, the auction. All right, now the diamond's new owners have called it the Winston Pink Legacy. It was once owned by the Oppenheimer family, who formerly ran the De Beers Mining Company. The diamond was referred to as one of the world's greatest diamonds by Christie's international head of jewelry. And they said, "You may see this color in a pink diamond of less than one carat, but it's almost 19 carats, and it's as pink can be. It's unbelievable." It was graded as fancy vivid, which is the highest level of color intensity. Fancy vivid. It's a rectangular cut. The rectangular cut stone was found in South Africa in a mine about 100 years ago and has likely not been altered since it was first cut in 1920. Finding a fancy vivid pink diamond larger than 10 carats, they say, is virtually unheard of. Unheard of. It's casi imposible. You can't even imagine. The auction price of the Pink Legacy diamond sold at Christie's annual jewels auction beat the previous record in terms of price per carat. Now, back in November of last year, just a year ago, an 8.4-carat pink diamond sold for $17.7 million, more than $2.1 million per carat. But so this is a world record. The most expensive diamond per carat, right, for its size. And there you have it. Our trending topic, the Pink Legacy Diamond. Now, we have kind of a double feature today, Tino. Double feature. Double the news, double the fun. But it's not good news, but I do want to talk about something that is dominating. It's a big story in world news. And a big story from the U.S. right now, which is the wildfires, the fires that are burning in California. Basically, California, a lot of California is on fire right now. And firefighters, los bomberos, están ahí luchando. They're fighting. We say firefighters. Literally, it's like luchadores del fuego. Firefighters are fighting three major wildfires in California. So let's take a look at some of the numbers of what's going on in California right now as of this morning. As of this morning, like at the time of this morning, we say as of. There's one called the Campfire. Campfire. Now, this is in Butte County, where 130,000 acres of the county are burning. They say it's about 35% contained. So 35% of it is under control, but the remaining 65% is out of control. 48 people have died. 3 firefighters are injured. 8,800 buildings or structures are destroyed. 7,600 of those being homes. That's the first fire, the first major fire burning in California. The second one is called the Woolsey Fire. And this is in Los Angeles County and also in Ventura County, California. About 97,000 acres, as I read, as I speak, possibly more by now. 47% contained, 2 fatalities confirmed, and 3 firefighters injured. 435 buildings destroyed, but 57,000 in danger. So this one could potentially grow to a much bigger area and cause a lot of damage. And the final one is in Ventura County, California, and they're calling it the Hill Fire. And 4,500 acres have burned so far. It is 94% contained. So this one is less. This one is less significant than the other two. But, it's smaller, I'll say, than the other two. But there have been new fires breaking out east of Los Angeles, including a brush fire. So brush is like bushes, like arbustos, like small plants along the side of the road. At about 20 or 30 acres was burning near homes in San Bernardino County, California, last night. And crews are using bulldozers, trucks, to try to attack the fire and take away the fuel. But you get what happens is when the ground is so dry, you get these big fires burning and you get ash and sparks that go up into the air, red sparks, and then they come and they settle down. They come back down and touch down on the dry grass, on the tinder, and catch fire. And start these fires. So a fire in one area can cause a fire, you know, a few miles away if these ashes stay hot enough in the air and they come down. And the ground is very dry. They've been suffering droughts in California for years. So everything's dry. And so these fires tend to get completely out of control. So it's a big problem. State of emergency in California right now as they deal with these, struggle to deal with these fires. All right. We have a couple more minutes before we take a break. Why don't we take a quick look at some vocabulary, Tino? How about a couple minutes of vocabulary, if we can get some music. Oh, yeah, there we go. A little bit of vocabulary music for us. We're going to go into the kitchen. Vamos a la cocina. ¿Cómo que no? Why not? And we have some verbs related to the kitchen. For example, to steam. Que es cocinar al vapor. To steam. So I talked about this last week. Someone said, what's the difference between steam and fumes? But steam is like vapor. Steam would be pure water, evaporated water. Whereas fumes are like toxic chemicals that come off in the air, let's say. To strain, que es colar, escurrir. To strain. Batir, to blend. I had to buy a new blender on the weekend, Tino. Una batidora nuevo. I'm the proud owner of a new blender. That's right. Cortar en tiras. ¿Cómo se dice eso? Cortar en tiras. To cut into strips. Into strips. Cortar en cubitos. ¿Cómo es? En cubitos. ¿Sabes? We say to cube. Or to dice. Dice, como los dados, like at the casino, you know, you're playing games at home. Dice. 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 To dice. Or to cube. But yeah, typically we say to dice. Cuajar. This is to curdle. Like if you have milk and the milk sits out, it can curdle. C-U-R-D-L-E. Curdle. se escribe, but we say curdle, curdle. Cubrir, to cover, of course, to cover, cover something up. Dar la vuelta, to flip. F-L-I-P, flip, flip it over. Flip it. Decorar, to decorate, decorate. Y derramar, o verter. Bueno, derramar is an accident, right? To spill. Echar would be in, like, to pour. Echar is to pour, but to spill is accidental. It's a problem. Oh, and you knock over, you know, a glass and you spill the water everywhere. To spill. All right. There you go, folks. That's a little kitchen vocabulary for you. A few verbs as we wind down. Vamos acabando. Finishing, winding down. Acabando. Our first half hour. We're going to take a short break. I'm not going anywhere. Yo me quedo aquí. ¿Eh? No voy a ningún lado. I'll be back in 4 minutes, everybody, with plenty more of the Drive Time Show. So please, don't touch that dial.
¿Quieres un curso intensivo de inglés Vaughan Premium? No dejes pasar esta oportunidad. Curso intensivo de inglés Vaughan Premium. Un programa de formación intensa y global durante 3 meses, diseñado específicamente para alumnos de todos los niveles que disponen de un tiempo limitado para aprender el idioma. Al finalizar, habrás ganado soltura y confianza con el inglés para enfrentarte a situaciones reales. Aumenta la comprensión auditiva, el aspecto clave para hacerte con cualquier idioma. Curso intensivo de inglés Vaughan Premium. Infórmate en el 911-335833. 911-335833.
Papi, ¿cuánto falta para el verano? ¿Me vas a apuntar a un campamento este año? Porfi, porfi, porfi. ¿Es verano ya? ¿No? ¿Y ahora? ¡Papi!
Venga, hija, déjalo ya y comete el pavo.
Con los Weekend Camps de Vaughan, tus hijos no tienen que esperar al verano para ir a un campamento de inglés. ¿Sabías que celebramos campamentos temáticos de fin de semana? Y este mes nos toca Thanksgiving, de ahí lo del pavo. El Weekend Camp de Thanksgiving supone una inmersión completa en inglés para que tus hijos aprovechen los días sin cole y sigan practicando su inglés. Regálales una experiencia inolvidable que te agradecerán toda la vida. Apúntalos ya a nuestro Weekend Camp de Thanksgiving. Más información en el 911-133-5832 o en grupovaughan.com.
My parents took me to classes. They thought it was good for my future. I didn't know it, but I realized that I had an advantage against other people. At the beginning it was hard.
Be like Jesus. Be like them.
Descubre más en grupovaughan.com.
En 3 meses puedes hacer muchas cosas. Puedes ponerte cachas en el gimnasio.
Hola, guapa.
Ig, te has pasado un poco, ¿no?
O también puedes hacer un curso trimestral en Vaughan. En solo 3 meses verás cómo tu inglés da un importante salto de calidad. Si necesitas mejorar tu inglés sin perder el tiempo, con un método que realmente funciona, hazte con uno de nuestros cursos trimestrales. La matrícula ya está abierta. Infórmate sin compromiso en el 911-133-5833 o en grupovaughan.com. Llámanos al 911-133-5833 y nuestros compañeros te informarán de la solución Vaughan que mejor se adapte a tus objetivos y a tu bolsillo. Y no te preocupes, hablan español.
I'm 100% Spanish. I began learning English when I was about 10 and I just fell in love with it, with language. I can't remember a time when I didn't speak English, and that's what I like about it so much.
Be like Elena. Be like them.
Descubre más en grupovaughan.com.
Curso intensivo para el First Exam, el programa de Vaughan para superar el examen oficial de Cambridge y obtener el First Certificate, B2. Para más información, grupovaughan.com.
Elige la modalidad que mejor se adapte a ti en formato intensivo una vez por semana y certifícate con Vaughan. Infórmate en Madrid en el 911-335833.
Lo que más miedo le da al profesional español es hablar por teléfono en inglés. Por eso, Vaughan ha desarrollado sus clases telefónicas, en las que trabajarás tanto tu comprensión auditiva como tu fluidez oral con un auténtico crack de la enseñanza. Tú eliges la hora y la temática de cada clase. Flexibilidad absoluta. Calidad Vaughan 100%.
Infórmate en Barcelona en el 933398687. En Madrid 91133-5833.
Hello, I'm your Vaughan Telephone Class teacher.
¿Y a ti? ¿Se te hace cuesta arriba el inglés? Clases 100% método Vaughan para todos los niveles que te darán el empujón que necesitas para vencer todas tus dificultades con el idioma. Más información en el 91-133-5833 o en grupovaughan.com.
Fruta de la máxima calidad, sabor, dulzor en su punto de maduración. Fruta cada día en tu oficina. Frutality patrocina este programa. Frutality.es. Entra ahora y te enviamos el primer pedido gratis. Frutality.es.
Everybody, welcome back to the Drive Time Show. It is time for our second half hour. Kyle Miller here with the Drive Time Show for Wednesday. Wednesday, the middle of the week, the third day of the week, the third last day of the week, the middle of the week. It's Wednesday. That's right, and we have lots to talk about as always, como siempre, as always. And at the start of our show, we had our Twitter translation. I might give a few more minutes. Unos minutos más. No, I'll give a few more minutes for people who want to get their answers in. People are writing in through Twitter. ¿Cómo se dice en inglés? No sé si estoy por la labor. Es que no sé. Tell me how to say that in English. We'll talk about it a little bit later, but for now, hey, how about pronunciation? How about that? Let's take a look at today's pronunciation.
How are you?
No. How are you?
I'm very excited.
I'm very excited. Not very. I'm very excited.
Would you like to go?
No. You have to say, would you like to go?
Pronunciation.
Pronunciation. Pronunciation. And today, well, we're going to take a little bit of our a bit of pronunciation from one of our books called The Trilogy, La Trilogía del Inglés. And one of the books in the trilogy is the pronunciation book. And we have a section talking about the letter F, la F. But there are words, of course, that end in PH or contain the PH, which is also pronounced like an F, like phone, telephone, or un gráfico is in English a graph. Paragraph, photograph. Triumph as well. Triunfar. To triumph. Ralph. PH, also pronounced like an F. But the simple F itself, like off, if, stuff, staff, chief, deaf, cuff, proof. So you have to, with these words, you have to, you don't activate the vocal cord with the F. You do not activate. It's not v. If you vibrate the vocal cord, then you have the perfect V sound. La V. You have the V. If you don't activate the vocal cord, then you have the F. So you have office, office. But people say, for example, apagado. Está apagado. La luz. Está apagado. The light is off. And they'll say, one F or two. I've heard a lot of people say that. Un F o dos. But I said, well, off. What do you think? Off. I'm not saying of. Of would be de. Lord of the Rings. Of. Or un horno. Oven. O-V-E-N. It's the same sound. Oven and of. O-V-E-N. Oven. And of as in O-F. So when we have that unvoiced, or so we have that voice and it's of. But this, it's different from the off. So when we voice it, we have that type of F sound. But let's practice the unvoiced sound like elf, elfo, wolf, lobo, wolf, golf, dwarf, scarf. Okay, so let's try a few sentences of translation, a few tongue twisters, trabalenguas. Ah, me encanta eso, claro. Okay. If you don't, bueno, si no lo haces tú, lo haré yo. If you don't do it, I will. Él lo hará si ella lo hace. He'll do it if she does it. Okay. ¿Y si me hago daño? What if I get hurt? What if I get hurt? Okay. Let's get a little more challenging here. Basta ya. Enough is enough, we say. Basta ya. Enough is enough. Or sometimes we say, that's enough. Eso es suficiente. That's enough. Hay suficientes ejemplos aquí. Are there enough examples here? He tenido suficiente. I've had enough. And we also have the word life. La vida es dura. Life is tough. ¿Qué tal la vida? How's life? La vida podría ser mejor. Life could be better. Pues así es la vida. Well, that's life. Life. Okay, but we have a special relationship. I like to talk about the special relationship that exists between the F and the V. The V in English is good friends with the F, but the V does not like the B. What? The V in F, the V is close to the F. It is similar to the F. It likes, there's this an intimate relationship between the F and the V. A special relationship. What I mean is when we have words like of, de, Lord of the Rings, of, it's pronounced, like I said a minute ago, like oven, horno, of, v. So with one F, O-F, this is of. With two Fs is off, the true F sound. But when we have that V sound, we're activating the vocal cord. You take the F and you simply activate the vocal cords. You vibrate the vocal cords and you have the perfect V, the perfect English V. Okay? So it's important to be able to do this. And you see you also see this relationship in words like five, cinco. And when you get the ordinal number, el quinto is fifth. So the V changes to an F because they have such a good relationship. They're so similar. They're so linked. That the V changes to an F when you say cinco, y luego lo cambias al quinto, five, fifth. The 50th, 50 in the 50th. We don't say 50th, but fifth, el quinto. Okay? So these little things, these little relationships between sounds are important to understand and get accustomed to as you develop good pronunciation habits. We're going to go forward, though. We're going to push forward and, hey, why don't we take a look at today's expression of the day? All right, the expression of the day today, we lost our computer system there. We had a little minor un fallo, basic, but no problem. To call the shots, everybody, to call the shots. Que es como dirigir el cotarro, to be the boss, to call the shots. Hey, who? We could also say, who runs the show here? ¿Quién lleva la voz cantante aquí? Oye, ¿quién lleva la voz cantante aquí? Who runs the show here? Who calls the shots? Who calls, so to call the shots. So I suppose it comes from, the military, right? And you have a general who's in war and he's telling the soldiers, okay, you have to shoot these soldiers, you know, he's calling it. He's making the decisions, he or she. Making the decisions, telling the soldiers what to do, calling the shots. Or firing a cannon, you know, making the decision, calling the shots. So to be the boss, to run the show, to call the shots, we say. A good expression. Everybody knows this expression. It's a common one, very common. Very good expression to know. All right, we're gonna go forward though. We're gonna go ahead and Let's see. Why don't we do a little challenge? Are we ready for this? How about a challenge? We do this one every day. Let's go ahead with today's interrogative challenge.
Interrogative challenge.
All right, the interrogative challenge, I'm going to give you the answer to the question. Yo la respuesta y tú la pregunta. Okay, I give you the answer and you ask me the question afterwards. Number one. I didn't do it because it was too late. Why didn't you do it? Hey, why didn't you do it? Oh, because it was too late. Number two, he'll be promoted next month. When will he be promoted? When will he be promoted? Number three, he was driving a Volvo when I saw him. What kind of car was he driving when you saw him? What kind of car? What brand of car, you could say, was he driving when you saw him? Number four, I hid it under the bed. Where did you hide it? Hey, where did you hide it? Por debajo la mesa. Under the bed. Number five, I'm planning to see him next week. When are you planning to see him? When are you planning to see him? Number six, it's been 3 months since I smoked a cigarette. How long has it been since you smoked a cigarette? That's true. Actually, I don't smoke. Number seven, the left side of his face was paralyzed. Which side of his face was paralyzed? Which side? The left side? Which side of his face was paralyzed? Number eight. It gets down to 10 degrees below zero in winter. How cold does it get in winter? How cold does it get in winter? Well, it gets down to 10 degrees below zero. How cold does it get? Number nine, you should go by taxi. How should I go? Hey, how should I go? Oh, you should go by taxi. It's much more convenient that way. Number 10, I'm waiting for Patricia. Who are you waiting for? Who are you waiting for? I'm waiting for Patricia. I'm waiting for Patricia. There you go. Well done. Well done. I know it's not easy. No, it's not a fácil, right? It's not easy, is it, Tino? The interrogative challenge. He does it. You do it as well. Tino works through these. Do you get them usually, Tino, or are they tough? And he says, no. He says, those are easy. Son muy, muy fácil para mí. They're very easy for me. But... facilis, I suppose. It's the best way to develop agility with the interrogative form. And I always say it, but I would encourage you to go to evox.com, ivoox.com, and type in, y entra drive time. evox.com, y busca drive time. Y puedes encontrar más de 1,000 programas ahí. More than 1,000 programs of this. 1,000 episodes, capítulos of this show. And you can work with those challenges, you can practice, and you can gain agility with the interrogative form. It's the best exercise I know. We do it every day. I do that exercise in almost every class, on almost every show. So if you work with those, you will gain agility. It will help you. It works. I promise. I promise. One of the examples there that we saw was it goes down to 10 degrees below zero. 10 grados bajo cero. 10 degrees below zero. And I think that is, it's like in my hometown. It goes down to maybe 20 below zero. Yeah, last winter we had when I was at home at Christmas time, we had a cold snap. A cold snap. Una ola de frío, no? Hola, sorry. Hola. Una ola de frío. Yes.
A lo mejor tendrás también.
Well, it's, you know, it's it does, you know, it doesn't make me scared. It doesn't frighten me, but it does in fact it gets to you after a while. Like, you know, last year it got cold and it stayed cold for about 10 days. 10 días, así. Minus 10. It wasn't minus 20, but it was minus 10. But it was nice because I was able to go skating, patinando sobre hielo, go skating outside. The lakes were frozen. And in Canada, you know, you have a lot of lakes, rivers, and they freeze over, and you can go out there and go skating, and it's nice. It's very nice.
Usted es una fiera.
Well, you know, I yeah, but one of the great things, people say, oh, Canada, it's too cold, qué frío. But in the summer, you have to realize Toronto, for example, has weather almost as hot as Madrid in the summer, casi como Madrid. Okay? You could have 38 grados in Toronto, and humidity. It's hot. And then in the winter, 20 bajo cero, 20 below zero. So you have a great difference from the highs to the lows. You have an incredible difference in Canada. Also in Montreal. Montreal gets hot in the summer too, and Montreal gets probably colder than Toronto. My hometown is called Liverpool, Liverpool, Canada, Liverpool, Nova Scotia. Notice how we say this in North America. We don't say, like you say, Madrid, Spain. But in Canada, we would say Liverpool, Nova Scotia, Toronto, Ontario, Calgary, Alberta, Ottawa, Ontario. And because there could be, for example, Springfield. It's like on The Simpsons. You don't just say Springfield, USA. There are something like 40 Springfields. Hay como 40 Springfields en Estados Unidos. Something like that. I don't know the exact number, but there are many Springfields. So you'd say Springfield, Massachusetts, or Springfield, Pennsylvania, or Springfield, New York. Right? So my hometown is called Liverpool, Liverpool, Canada, Liverpool, Nova Scotia, on the east coast of Canada. And because it's on the ocean, it doesn't get as cold as interior places. It doesn't get as cold as places in Western Canada and Alberta, where it gets very, very, very cold, minus 30 degrees, minus 35 in the winter, without too much trouble, without going very, very far north. People think that Canada is very far north, but most of the population in Canada lives close, okay, quote unquote, close, entre comillas, close to the U.S. border, because it's warmer, the climate is better, and the infrastructure is there, and there's flow of people, there's movement, and it's the climate is better. So relatively close, like I think within 100 kilometers of the U.S. border, I forget the statistic, but something like 80% of the Canadian population lives within 100 kilometers of the U.S. border. So when you go far north, you just don't have that many people. It's very sparse. There are great distances between communities. But even in Canada in general, if you drive across the country, which is one thing that makes it difficult for bands, touring acts and bands and businesses transporting goods, is the distance between cities. The distance between major cities. So if you look at, for example, if you go to Winnipeg, which is I'm going to look at Winnipeg, which is in the province of Manitoba. I lived near there for a while. I lived in the province of Manitoba in, I call it Western Canada, but really it's really quite central. But I call it Western because I consider anything, anything that is, in my opinion, that is west of Ontario is Western Canada. But to go from Winnipeg and you're driving west, you go to the next province is Saskatchewan. You have Regina, Saskatchewan. But it would take to drive from Winnipeg to Regina maybe takes you 12 hours by car to get to the next decent-sized city. So everything is, there are great distances. And people say things like, oh, I went to Canada. Where did you go? They say, I went to Ontario. Well, Ontario, you have to remember, Ontario is like the size of Eastern Europe. Ontario, it takes you about 20 horas en coche para cruzarlo. Una provincia, the province of Ontario. It's big, right? Now that's a slight exaggeration, but it is maybe not 20, but pretty close. You know, it's huge. I mean, my province, the province of Nova Scotia, is one of the smallest provinces of Canada in Canada, and it's about the size of Portugal. It's pretty similar to the size of Portugal. My province of Nova Scotia, which is one of the smallest provinces. There's a smaller one called Prince Edward Island, which is a beautiful spot, which is about a quarter of the size, or less, about 15% of the size of Nova Scotia. So it's the smallest province. But then you have Quebec and Ontario, very big provinces. And it takes, like I said, to cross Ontario can take about 17 or 18 hours driving. And Quebec is very big as well. Quebec goes further north. So in terms of size, I think Ontario is a little bit bigger, slightly bigger than Quebec, but very similar in size. Both are very big provinces. But anyway, so yeah, if you want to go to Canada, I don't just say, people say, oh, you have to go in the summer because the winters are so cold. Yes, they are. But there are a lot of interesting things to do. If you love skating, you love skiing, there are a lot of outdoor activities that are very nice and can be enjoyed in the wintertime in Canada. Another thing that's interesting is the latitude. For example, Toronto is significantly further south than London, for example. London is further north than Toronto. They go, huh? Impossible. No, people think that Canada, you're going way up north, but not really. Most of Canada lives, like I said, near the within 100 kilometers of the U.S. border. And it's, yes, of course, Canada goes all the way up to the North Pole, but most of the population lives in the southern portions of Canada and southern Ontario, where it dips down around the Great Lakes. And you have a large percentage of the Canadian population living there. From Ottawa, and then going as you go west, you get into the Great Lake region, and a lot of people live in that area through Ontario. And then on the south side of the Great Lakes, you have American cities like Chicago and Detroit, and also a very big American population there as well. All right. We forgot to give, I haven't given out the answer yet, la respuesta to today's Twitter translation, because people are writing in. ¿Cómo se dice en inglés? No sé si estoy por la labor. Es que no sé. Now, Concha writes in and says, I don't know if I'm for it. Falta algo. Paulo says, I'm not sure I feel up for it. Okay, I'm not sure if I feel up for it. Okay, I'm not sure if I feel up for it, says Paulo. Maria Pilar says, I don't know if I'm able for the work. Por la labor. I don't know if I feel like doing it, says Mari Carmen. I don't know if I'm willing, says Chuchai. And then we have Carmen. I don't know if I'm up for it. Alex says, I don't know if I'm up for it. I don't know if I want to do it. What I was looking for is, I don't know if I'm up to the task. Ooh, to be up to the task. I don't know if I'm up to the task. I don't know if I'm up for it. Or, yeah, if I'm up to it. If I'm up for it or up to the task. I don't know if I'm up for it, says Jesus. That works. Christian says, I don't think I'd be up for it. But here, no sé si estoy. So I don't know if I am up for it. A lot of people have this version, if I'm up for it. And that works. Sergio, Bel de Jour, Joaquin, Belen, Eduardo. So many people writing in. Thanks for your participation. Lots and lots of people writing in. An explosion of activity here on Twitter. So thanks for your participation. But a nice way to say this is, I don't know if I'm up to the task. No sé si estoy por la labor. So think of it as an expression. I don't know if I'm up to the task. All right. We're going to take a break. We're going to come back with a third and final half hour of the Drive Time Show. So whatever you do, don't touch that dial.
¿Quieres un curso intensivo de inglés Vaughan Premium? No dejes pasar esta oportunidad. Curso intensivo de inglés Vaughan Premium. Un programa de formación intensa y global durante 3 meses, diseñado específicamente para alumnos de todos los niveles que disponen de un tiempo limitado para aprender el idioma. Al finalizar, habrás ganado soltura y confianza con el inglés para enfrentarte a situaciones reales. Aumenta la comprensión auditiva, el aspecto clave para hacerte con cualquier idioma. Curso intensivo de inglés Vaughan Premium. Infórmate en el 911-335833. 911-335833.
I studied English in school when I was able to understand them without translating in my mind what they were saying. That's when I said, wow, since I have a daughter, we try
be to like Sol. As be like them.
Descubre más en grupobaugan.com.
Lo que más miedo le da al profesional español es hablar por teléfono en inglés. Por eso, Vaughan ha desarrollado sus clases telefónicas, en las que trabajarás tanto tu comprensión auditiva como tu fluidez oral con un auténtico crack de la enseñanza. Tú eliges la hora y la temática de cada clase. Flexibilidad absoluta. Calidad Vaughan 100%.
Infórmate en Barcelona en el 933398687. En Madrid 911335833.
Hello, I'm your Vaughan telephone class teacher.
¿Y a ti? ¿Se te hace cuesta arriba el inglés? Clases 100% método Vaughan para todos los niveles que te darán el empujón que necesitas para vencer todas tus dificultades con el idioma. Más información en el 911335833 o en grupobaughan.com.
Ven a los talleres de Vaughan que realizamos en nuestras delegaciones. Ahora puedes probar el método Vaughan gratis. Sí, como lo has oído, gratis. Apúntate a los talleres. Próximos talleres en Vigo, Barcelona, Zaragoza y Valladolid. Nuestros talleres gratis. Prueba el método Vaughan gratis.
I'm 100% Spanish. I began learning English when I was about 10. And I just fell in love with it, with language. I can't remember a time when I didn't speak English, and that's what I like about it so much.
Be like Elena. You know, be like them.
Descubre más en grupobaughan.com.
¿No tienes planes para el sábado? Te proponemos un planazo.
Un día entero hablando en inglés, con gente de lo más interesante de todas partes del mundo, en un hotel precioso con desayuno y comida incluidos. No suena mal, ¿no? Si estás buscando un plan para el sábado que verdaderamente te ayude con tu inglés, ven a Daytown. Descubrirás que en solo un día puedes mejorar tu comprensión auditiva y, sobre todo, tu confianza para comunicarte en inglés. Próxima convocatoria, el 24 de noviembre en Madrid. Infórmate en grupobaughan.com o en el 911335833.
Si sigues dejando lo del inglés para mañana, es posible que nunca llegues a mejorar. Ahora es el momento perfecto. Descubre el método Vaughan y cambia tu futuro. Mejorarás tu nivel de inglés gracias a unos profesores que te apoyan y te motivan. Grupos reducidos en los que estarás siempre utilizando el idioma. Deja de estudiar inglés y empieza a hablar inglés. Vence al mañana me pongo con Vaughan. Llama ahora al 91-133-5833 o entra en grupovaughan.com.
Si estás en el paro y buscas un curso de inglés intensivo que se adapte a tu bolsillo, entra en inglesparadesempleados.com. Próxima convocatoria del 26 al 30 de noviembre. Entra en inglesparadesempleados.com. Estás escuchando Vaughan Radio.